to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have been looking at the gospel, how we ought not to be ashamed of it, identify with it, the facts, the truth of it, to preach it the way it is. We said the word gospel, euangelion, is from the word euangelizo, where you have two words, EU, well done, and gelizo, our servant, to be sent to announce a well done work, well done task. We said, so the tenses of this gospel are in the future. The tenses of this gospel are in the past. All that God has done and accomplished in Christ. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul says, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. In 2 Timothy 2:8, Christ, I quoted that 9 yesterday, that was an error. Christ raised from the dead. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Paul says, this is my gospel. There seemed to be something very unique about the presentation of Paul and the gospel of Christ that made him personalize it. My gospel. Same way in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2. You've heard of this version of the grace of God which is given to me to you all. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul says that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He makes something very unique here in 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto me, no, unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So he calls it my gospel, my revelation. Uniquely, he interpreted the Old Testament in what we call a Christocentric fashion, teaching, preaching, explaining the person of Christ from the Old Testament. And then he incorporates the truth of the gospel, which is all nations, all creatures, every man. Very vital in the teaching and preaching of Paul. Again, in Acts 26 verse 18, it says that the instruction given unto him was to turn from darkness to light, the power of Satan unto God, to receive, or they might receive, or to receive, forgiveness of sins, Acts 26, 18, and inheritance among them that are sanctified through faith, which is in me. You will see the Pauline epistles influencing all other epistles. Check what the apostles wrote or what they said in the book of Acts. You'll see a uniqueness in how they presented the letters. You see John say something like, as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. Now are we the sons of God. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Strong truths of identification. You find the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews 2 verse 11. He that sanctified, and those both he that sanctified and those that sanctified are all of one. For this cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Identification. He taught that strongly. Writer of Hebrews. He says, he brought many sons to glory, that he will be the captain of their salvation, perfected through suffering. Hebrews 2 and 10. Peter, 2 Peter 3 and 15, said, we account the doctrine of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom, insight, given unto him, as written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, he says, in which are some things hard to be understood, with they that are unlearned and unstable rest, I do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So Paul has strong emphasis, very strong, strong influence on the apostles. The uniqueness of the truth which is found in Christ that he unveiled. So that's why we embarked on a series in church. In Christ, understanding Paul's revelation of identification. If there's a book I want to, or if there's a book I'll say I have been writing for years, and one day we'll conclude it. It is the word in Christ, Paul's revelation. That will be a book that I'll edit myself. I'll read through it myself. Because that is Christianity. In Christ, Paul's revelation of identification. So when a man is a comedian, he says things like, why would you quote Paul above Jesus? That's the only way you can be saved. Having said that, don't say, well, some say I'm of Apollos. Some say I'm of Christ. Say, what have you? Whose are you? I say, Paul. Exactly. See? You don't understand the gravity of that statement. Amen. Paul. Because in the words of Jesus, I find hope. What will be done? In the words of Jesus, I find statements that require statements. I have yet many things to say unto you, but cannot bear them now. John 16:12. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all of the truth. The most complete teaching of Jesus, Luke 24:25-27. Oh, fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ of such things enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explains them the things concerning, the things concerning himself. Luke 24:45. All things indeed must be fulfilled, which were written in the prophets, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, concerning me. I spoke when I was with you, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, concerning me. And he opened the understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They behold Christ to suffer, and for 3 days, and then the third day to rise again from the dead. And that repentance and remission of sins, verse 47, will preach in his name in all nations within Jerusalem. And I said, oh, that's the summary. Summary. I can't read that and know what he said. So I'll have to rely on the epistles, particularly of Paul. So Jesus himself lent credence to the epistles. Very important. So a man born again will have to appreciate the revelation that was given to Paul. My gospel, the gospel of Christ, promise of God, Romans 1:1. Preaching the gospel before to Abraham, Galatians 3:8. According to the revelation of the mystery, Romans 16:26. Made manifest by the commandment of the everlasting God, Romans 16:26. Very clear, with so much clarity, in the words of the apostle. The man will embrace it, has embraced the Holy Scriptures. Having said that, talked about the preaching of the gospel. Talk about the doing with the preaching of the gospel. What God can do, what God will do. Signs and wonders, Hebrews 2:4, diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. I've said that. Then we look at what Paul taught about this gospel. What did he say? What are the things he said are my responsibility? I have a responsibility to preach the gospel. I also have a responsibility to defend it and protect. The first person I protect the gospel from, or the first thing I protect the gospel from, is from my own behavior. Yes, it is true. 2 Corinthians 4:6, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ and ourselves, your servants for Christ's sake. Very true. It's true that determined not to know anything amongst you, 1 Corinthians 2:2, save Christ and Him crucified. Very true. Jesus Christ raised from the dead. That is my gospel. 2 Timothy 2:8. Very true. And with that, knowing fully well that they cannot hear without what? A preacher. So, for example, if I don't preach it, it will not be heard. If I preach it, and preach it with additives and additions, other things will be heard. That's why I said, we would not handle the word of God, 2 Corinthians 4:2, deceitfully. 2 Corinthians 2:17, it says, will not corrupt the message as some do. Some versions will say, we will not, that corrupt the word of God, we will not peddle the gospel. So, I have a duty to protect the word from my emotions, from my own greed. Paul, writing to a preacher, he says, the love of money is a root of all evil, which some, having coveted after, have heard from the faith. 1 Timothy 6 and 10, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. In other words, a preacher has a responsibility to protect the message from his own conduct, nuances, emotions, greed, desires, so that you don't begin to use the message to achieve personal ambition. I have a duty to, first of all, before you talk about those who are preaching wrong doctrine, before you start talking about, let's find a good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6 and 12, before you go into all that, start from yourself. 1 Timothy 4:15. Take heed to other preachers. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. That you save yourself and those that hear you. Acts 20:28. Take heed to yourselves and to the flock, the church of God, which he has purchased. With the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The church of God, feed the flock. The church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. You take heed to yourself. You must learn to take heed to yourself. There are many who received the message of the gospel, who preached it, but did not protect it from themselves. They saw it as an avenue to get married, avenue to have money, avenue to possess personal ambition. By the time you do that, it will affect the message. You mustn't preach your experiences. You mustn't preach what you are going through. You mustn't try to interpret it from your experiences. The moment you do that, you begin to preach yourself. You must protect it even from your testimonies, so that your testimony does not become the testimony of the word. Protect it from yourself. Protect it from your emotions, so that you will teach the word, you know, as true, as very true, even though your emotions, your experiences may not tally with the reality of what you are saying. You are protecting it from yourself. So, protect it from yourself. You don't bring the gospel to become a family thing. People have done that. Repetitiously. They bring in their children, their relatives, to run the churches. Nothing wrong if your church is, if your children, your relatives are given to the gospel. They are given to the word and duly they merit to be called bishops. 1 Timothy 3:1-2. I mean, nothing wrong in that. 6, nothing wrong. If the Holy Ghost has made them overseers, Acts 20:28, nothing wrong. But you must not influence things that the gospel become corrupted by your own desires. Careful. Careful. Philippians 1:27. Paul, about this gospel. Let's take it together. Philippians 1:27. Let us go. I'll wait for you. Are you there? Let's go. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Of your what? That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hallelujah. I wish I can preach that. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Some of us know how to preach it, how to share it, how to talk to people about it, but we don't know how to strive for it. When you stand with the gospel, the adversaries, people will come and try to contradict what's been said. Sometimes they come with blackmail, slander. You must be used to that. You must learn to stand with the gospel. It's good to stand with your pastor. But you see, standing with your pastor is just emotional. Stand with the gospel. I've never commissioned anybody to defend me anywhere. It's a wasted venture. I didn't ask you to do it. Defend the gospel. That's what I feed you with every day. Defend that. The truth. I will give you line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there, exegesis of scripture, so that you go and pick it yourself and you see it. And it will now be worth your striving for. Stand with the gospel. Look at what it says. Let your conversation. So my conduct is important. Did you hear me? My conduct is vital. My conversation, which is my behavior, my conduct is vital. The way I'm a bearer of a message that must not be corrupted by my bad behavior, my lack of knowing how to talk, my rude speech, my indiscreet behavior with men and women, my loose attitude will come and haunt a true message. Oh! A man hears the word and he says, "Oh my God, no matter what I do, Christ died for me." Well, you are not just insane. You are out of your mind totally. How is that the gospel? Well, maybe you should tell me that no matter what you do, Christ died for your sins. The first thing, I land on you a patch. Go! No matter what I do. That's, it paid me. No. Paid for. Idiots. How is that the gospel? How is that the gospel? Don't bring in your chicken brains, your me, I lost words. Your discreet, emotionally bankrupt attitude and corrupt a message that is pure. Don't bring in your foolishness, your exuberance. Don't say, "I'm a young man." Shut up your mouth. Timothy was a young man. A boy was made a king in Israel, and people did not. They did not start playing 10-10 all over Israel. A boy was made king all over Israel. And people were not behaving like fools. A 12-year-old boy, your Lord and Savior, was in the temple. And he conducted himself after the manner of the word. Age is not an excuse. You are only loose because you are loose. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise the youth, but be thou an example of the youth. No? Of what? The believers. In your conversation, in faith, in charity, in purity. You must act like someone who carries a message worth behaving well. You can't corrupt the message with your indiscreet behavior, your unwise relationships, your indiscreet use of time, your being found in ungodly places at ungodly hours. So that you now run to the word. You run to a word that should say, you run to it for personal agenda. Man of God, you are a terrible ambassador of the word. Are you there? You must bear the word with dignity. Bear the word with honor. So that your conduct does not become the reference point. I'm not saying this to in any way add any fuel to those who say, the way you taught it is the way you taught. No, I'm not talking about those kind of people. No. But your own. Your behavior. Your manner of presenting of the gospel. Yes. Then you. A man is a, he says he has come to know the word. And the way we know he has come to know the word is the way he changed how he walks. Now walks like this. Why? It's the word. It's the word. You are crazy. Actually, for the first time in the history of Christianity, someone is going to hell that has been born again. You. You are hell bound. In fact, you are there. How can a man knows the word and then he's not humble? He doesn't know the word. A man knows the word and he's rude in speech. He does not know the word. Don't be deceived. A man knows the word and because of that, he dresses anyhow. He begins to wear her rings like he was not hearing before. The man does not know the word. A man knows the word, then he picks up cigarette. I will start smoking now, since my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, whether it is on fire or not. You are a fool. A man says he knows the word, begins to carouse women all over the place. You don't know the word. That's not the word. You heard yourself. It's likely you went to the thief at the right hand. Who made it anyway? Because he said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And you said something to him. Remember me when you come to his kingdom. And the man forgot you. He forgot you. And there you are. Hanging at the foot of the cross. Waiting for the soldiers to pack you along with the dead bodies into the grave. You are done for. You will rise again. Let your conversation, your behavior. How can you be in school, a word man, and then you are cheating in class? You are writing exam for somebody. Man of God! No, man of the gods. You don't deserve that appellation. How is saying a man cannot commit sin because he knows the word? No. But a man having no single outer of respect for the message he carries, and he behaves anywhere, anyhow. The man is worthy of not just rebuke, he's worthy of censure. Such a man. 2 Corinthians 6. Paul makes it clear. 2 Corinthians 6. Are you in church? Verse 3. Let's take it together. 2 Corinthians 6, 3. Let's go. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. In all things. I tell people, you can never find a member of Saints Community Church. Not one. I say it boldly, and I hope my boasting will not be in vain. My Paul said, on social media, engaging anybody. See, you can't. Say, anybody you see doing that is a bastard. No more. You can't. Say, you can't find them. Say, go and look. You can't see them. They're two-thirds cultured. You know it. There can be people who come around and hear the word and like the word. Yes, we can't stop them. But those who are taught in Ibadan, taught in Ekpe, taught in Igondo, taught in Abuja, taught in Port Harcourt, taught in Yaba, taught in Alalagbado, Ikorodu, those who are taught Ife, Ogbomoso, Ilorin, who are taught every day. No. I know there could be some crossbreeds. Some who come in privily, subtly like the devil, to spoil the liberty, that they may bring disrepute to what we say. And those any tree the Father has not planted will be uprooted. A man comes into a local church, he sees his leadership, he follows them. He doesn't take his leadership from another church. Somebody in the house this morning. At the ministry, be not blamed. A man carries the message of Christ, which on his own has opposition. On his own has persecution. Why do you have to go and buy more persecution for yourself? On his own, do all you can. Can all you do? Be honest, sincere, do everything. They will still persecute you. Am I right? Do all you can. Can all you do? Preach the word. Appeal it. Say it in small tongues. Use Kenyans. Use Kenyans language. Use Higgins walking in love. Use false attitude. Use Jesus' blessed are thou meek. Use everything. They will still say, hey, enough. Then you now go and procure more for yourself. Are you okay? Let your conversation be that which becometh the gospel. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Hallelujah. A man of the word, no pride. Why is he proud? Because he knows the word. He knows he can glory in nothing. So he can't have pride. He can't be unsubmissive because he knows the word. You see, people say they know the word, they are looking for fame, looking for people to clap for them. What? You haven't met him. When you know Jesus, all those attitudes will drop. It will never be about you. Never. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Say, I protect the gospel I preach with honor. Honor, when you fail a course, fail it and redo it. Honor. Honor. Earn the money that you deserve. Honor. Speak the truth at all times. Honor. 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 Carry the message with honor. A man of uprightness in your conduct. Honor. A person of dignity. Honor. Some guys are skillful liars. You almost think they were the serpent in the garden. Don't be like that. Giving no offense at anything. At the ministry, be not blamed. Very critical. So it goes into you protecting the message. Paul did that vociferously, assiduously, indefatigably. He gave himself to ensure that message in no way was corrupted. Not by your own attitude, your bad manners, your uncultured behavior, your pride because you have money, or your arrogance because you are in a position, or your contempt for the rich because you don't have money. No. Not your indiscreet behavior towards men and women. If you are a man towards a woman, woman towards a man. No! Giving no offense in anything. That this ministry
not blamed.
Somebody follow what I'm saying this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul mentioned a critical part of this. Open your ears very well. I've said this over the years, I just want to repeat myself. Humanity always loves the reward system. What is my reward? Humanity likes it. So when we hear rewards, humanity will always look out for things. I'm going to teach this either today or sometimes later in the year. You can ask me, what is the reward we are looking at? As a believer. I'm just digressing, but for your sake. Abba, what exactly is the reward? When I was a younger Christian, they say every Christian will have a crown. And on each crown, you will have a pebble. Is it pebble? Or precious stone? Some say, stones of everybody that has been saved. That would be too serious. If you have won 1 million souls, then you carry 1 million stones. Too bad. Well, if that is the case, some, no stone. All they were doing was just following up through eternity. Some say, no. It is a stone per reward. The word of a soul winner, one stone. The word of a man that endures temptation, James 1:12, one stone. The word of a prayer warrior, one stone. Fall down, die, one rock. But again, some say, no. What will happen is, so we begin to, twist matters. Simplicity. I've said this before, I'll say it again. What is the reward? The reward a man will get at the end of life is God's word, what God will say. It means a man does not even prize God's word. To have thought it will be in exchange for a brand new car in eternity, a chariot, if that is the case may be, a horse, a chariot, or a whirlwind. No. It's what he will say. And the man that will have no reward is a man that he will say nothing as touching his works. Can see that in 7 letters in Revelation. I taught that a few weeks ago. So great salvation. 5C is what Jesus said. That is the reward. What he said. Stephanos. Reward is what he said. So what he will say will abide with that man in eternity. Not things. The minute you zero in into things, you are getting back into the mystery of humanity. The futility of sin. No. It's what God will say. So the man Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 begins to roll out a couple of things. My conduct is important to the message. He says in verse 1, am I not an apostle? 1 Corinthians 9, am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am unto you. And for the sin of my apostle, are you in the Lord? My answer to them that examine me is this, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as others, as the apostles, as the brethren of the Lord? Interestingly, Paul, I don't know why he did this, he said, and Peter. There was something unique about Peter and the wife. Or I only and Barnabas have not we the power to forbear walking. Then he begins to lay down a crucial aspect of the polite gospel. He says, who goeth a warfare at any time at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Who feeds a flock and eats not of the milk of the flock? I say I these things as a man, I say not the law the same also. The reason in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. God doth take care for oxen. And said, eat me altogether for your sakes, no doubts. This is written, that he that ploughs shall plough in oath, and he that treads In hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if you shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are we not rather? Pay attention. Then he says, nevertheless. Look at this. That is something that is rightfully is. He says, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. This is interesting. Paul puts his needs on the line. We have not used this power. The same statement. Look at 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things leave of the temple? And they which wait at the altar and partakers with the altar, even so are the Lord of them that they who preach the gospel should leave of the gospel. Let's take verse 15 together. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that should be done unto me. For it is well better for me to die and any man make my glorying void. This is the background of 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory. The says is laid upon me, your enemy, if I preach not the gospel. He uses the word in the Greek, karahomai, C-H-A-R-A-O-M-A-I. We have not used taking advantage. That's what he said. Same word in 1 Corinthians 7:21 and 1 Corinthians 7:31 to take advantage. Why? He said that this gospel be not in that. So Paul did not put a charge to the gospel. He did not put a charge to the gospel. Interesting. He said, we have put no charge. We have not said, before I preach, this must be given to me. He has not put a salary to his work. He said, why? It's not because it's just a choice. No. Yes, it's a choice. But this is critical. He said that the gospel be not in that. In other words, my needs, my desires for things can be a stumbling block for the gospel. Paul said it here. I tell people I'm going to emphasize this shortly now. Not living on the gospel. Let me put it clearly. Working for a living while preaching the gospel is very fundamental to the gospel Paul preached. Very fundamental. It's almost difficult for a man to hold the polite revelation and have not a career. It will be difficult for him to teach the polite revelation in totality. He said, we have not used it. He said, what is my reward? Verse 17. If I do this thing willingly, that is, I'm not doing it because of a fat salary. I do it willingly, I have a reward. If against my will, a dispensation is committed unto me. Look at verse 18. Let's take 18 together. What is my reward there? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. I did not use it. That's what he's saying. I didn't use it. He uses the word asapanos. A-S-A-P-A-N-O-S. It means without asking for pay. Then he went on. But he being free, yet he has made himself unto all men. People hardly quote what he was really saying. Now look, I made myself unto all men, for the gospel's sake, in verse 23, the particular you said, 24, though you know that they that run the race, run all, but receive one the prize, so run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate, verse 25, in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. What was Paul discussing? The fact that he was not taking charge for the ministry. That is why 27 now makes sense. I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached unto others. Now what does it mean? I preach unto others, taking charge for the gospel. I myself, I become a castaway. That means there is no reward. The moment a man begins to charge for the gospel, he loses his reward for what he has done. I didn't say the moment a man receives honor for being a teacher and a preacher of the word, 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. No. But the moment a man begins to ask you to compensate his work, I say, you know, every month, he says he loses his reward. There must be no charge. People should support you willingly because you have taught them. Let him that is taught in word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. This already destroys the obligation of paying tithes to a man. It doesn't take away the responsibility of taking care of your pastor, but it takes away that mandatory, obligatory, legalistic, oh, this must be done to me before I preach. I know people that do it. Before they come to preach, have you this one, that one, this one, that one, this one, that one. They say you should sign a contract. How much you are going to give me? Such men are abusing their power in the gospel. A man mustn't be found like that. But much more critically is the fact that Paul laid it down strongly so that a man must be found working with his hands. He must be found. The gospel requires that you get a job. The gospel requires that you have a source of income. The gospel must not be your source of income. That's what Paul is saying. Am I making any sense here? That's what he's saying. The gospel must not be your source of income. It mustn't be a reward system for you. No. It mustn't be a salary system for you. You must work with your hands so that you will protect the purity of the message. There are many today, oh, finish the work of Christ. He has done it. He has done it. But when they get to this area, critical area, you find out that they now company with other people who came from Jerusalem. They now have a koinonios with such men. They have a metikos with them. Partnership. They are saying, well, what we're saying is this. A man even said, look, Christ is the high priest of the new covenant. He's the one that takes tithes from us. I said, and your mouth did not itch you when you said it. The high priest of the new covenant does not take. The high priest of the new covenant give. That's the difference. He gave. So a man must see that he cannot even afford that his natural needs become an entrance to the gospel. It's easy to say, well, I don't take salaries from church, I don't have an entrance. Yet, your needs become the center points. The reason why you are not committed as you should be is because nobody is paying you salary.
So why would I show up in church every day? Nobody's paying me salary. Why is it? The moment you say, MLG, for every prayer group, every month, a man will take 1 million. The man says, can we have 7 prayer groups per day? Pastor, I can labor. I can labor. 1 million per prayer group. The man says, sir, I knew I had a prayer ministry when I was a baby. Because there is no reward in it. You are not any different from the man who collects money to preach. It's the same thing you both have. Same thing. You must say, look, I will not do this for reward. Not natural rewards. Neither would my commitment be in that, because there is no natural reward to it. So that your conduct does not corrupt the message. So that you have no money in your pocket, you are zealous. You have money in your pocket, you are zealous. Paul says, I have learned that in whatsoever circumstances I am, to be content. I have known how to abase and how to abound. How to have and how not to have. Many men don't quote that. But they like, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Emoji, are you thinking straight? What is he talking about? Look, when I have, it's okay. When I don't have, it's okay. He said, you will not even know. So, your conduct can be a problem for the gospel. That attitude of, what is in it for me? What's in it for me? Some will leave their church because there is no wife. He looked among just like Adam and found no helpmeet. Selah. Some will do the same thing. No husband. Look around the church. Because they are so carnal. Nobody is going to look at their area. Or they are too spiritual. And nobody's going to look at the area. Selah. Say, everybody is calling on Jesus. Listen. GB is the word. The most important thing is your name is written in the books of life. Forget all this. I don't have to be in Saints Community Church. There's Living Word Media. I will be a media man. There are people following pastor and not in his community. He begins to look for logical reasons to be stupid. Why? Because of reward. You want to get something out of the gospel. Now, someone who is not born again here will say, his pastor saying a man cannot be married in the will of God except in his community church. Yes. That's what I said. How did I say that? I simply said, you cannot put reward as a reason to take a decision with the gospel. That's all. The left is ready for you to think. Men have stayed in the midst and they are not doing well spiritually. Men have left, but their hearts is the gospel and they're doing well. So the point is, what did you do with the gospel? Don't misquote me. You can't even catch enough words in my mouth to present me before Pilate. Never. I'm above it. You want to take words I've spoken, give to the chief priest, you give to Pilate. No. Hallelujah. But by Christ, there will be no guy found in what I've said. Amen. Not for reward. A man must work for a living. Are you there? Let's work for a living. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Before we go there, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Working with our own hands. He said it 2 times in this letter. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it was all over his epistles. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now this is in no way, chapter 2. In no way is this a reason to be looking down on men of God who take salaries. I'm not talking to them, I'm talking to you. Don't be that fool who recommends the truth for every other person but himself. I'm not talking to any preacher. I'm talking to you. That's why I've been weary. And I tell our leaders, sometimes when we want to do something, say, well, Pastor, what if we start paying people? I say, we will not do it. I've insisted. Say, some people probably, I said, we won't do it. We will not do it. We will not do it. We volunteer. Volunteer your time. Volunteer your efforts. We'll do it. Ah, but it will make us effective. No. We have a revelation. A gospel. That in spite of the discomfort, in spite of how it looks, we'll stand with it. We'll not do it. As long as what we are referring to is the preaching of the gospel and the way it goes to the world, we will not do it. No more. Let me say this clearly. I have never, and I say it before God, I have never, since I met Chris Okotie in the year 2000, and he spoke sense into my life, I received sense. And I walked. I couldn't take Okada. I was just walking. How did I not see this? And I went home. I told myself, never will I say the church will take care of me. Never. I have never. Never. There's no church I have pastored that I am not the number one giver. Not from what they give, but what I have. Even when, as it keeps many businessmen, I have serious debts to pay. Doesn't change anything. Give my all. So that the gospel be not in that. Many of us don't even know what some of us go through business wise. Some of those things, when you go to a tent, you will not lift a single sentence again in tongues. Just say, speak in tongues. Yes! That the gospel be not in that. It doesn't even show in how we talk. At all. The gospel be not in that. It's not for reward. At all. Not earthly reward. The minute you go for earthly reward, you lose it. What are you looking for? Men commending you, men giving you money, men say, it's a word man. If that's what you are looking for, you are done for. Anything a man can give you can never be eternal. Did you hear what I'm saying? Anything a man can do to you and commend you over can never last. The only thing that can last is what God grants a man. Stay with that. I don't know about you. I believe in an eternity. I do. That's why I don't preach the gospel like there's no eternity. I know someday everything I'm saying will be rewarded. So I believe in eternity. I believe that when a man dies, there's an eternity. So, I live for that. Men's ovation it is too undependable. See, I've taught people that practically say, Pastor! A man, a woman who already has 6 children, one of them in university, say, Pastor! I wish I married you. I was in 100 level. See what? She didn't come back again for the next meeting. I've seen men say, Jesus appeared to me. He showed me your vision before I ever met you. It didn't last 3 months. So I came and said, after I finished preaching, Revelation of the Christian, 1997, University of Ibadan. In the all, the hopeless was, everyone said, see what? She came and shut the nose. Say, you are the best thing that's happened to Christianity in my life. I love you. Hug me tight. Thank you. I've not seen her since then. I don't write on social media for likes. I've outgrown that. Whether you like it, that's not the issue. Preach the word. In season, out of season. So told me, there should be a strategic way you post. When you post, there should be, and I just want to gather traction. I said, sorry, I'm not into that. I just preach the word. Some will read what I post this year, a year later. That's the most important thing. Teach it. I'm not for that. If you are going after human applause, you are not alright. Let your conversation resemble the gospel you preach. Paul says we walk with our hands. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. And we being affectionately desirous of you, were willing to have imparted unto you, not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Let's take verse 9 together. Let's go. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for labor night and day, because we will not be chargeable to any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. Look at verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. How many witnesses now? Three. How else does it become a doctrine? 2 Thessalonians 3. Let us take it together. Verse 7 and to verse 9. Let's go. How you ought to follow us. How you ought to what? How you ought to what? Go on. We behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Verse 8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, nor wrought with labor and travel night and day, that we may not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9. Not because we have no power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Are you there? So, it's the doctrine of Christ. A man will walk and not see the gospel as a salary system. If anything, your reward cannot be the gospel, from the gospel. Men will take care of a preacher, 1 Timothy 5:17, but not as a charge. Else, you become a lover of money. Are you in church? 2 Corinthians 11. Pastor, zonal pastor, fellowship coordinator, pastor, Christian, every one of you, hear this. 2 Corinthians, Paul, 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 9. He says, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For what which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Barcelona supplied. And in all things, I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you. So I will keep myself. 2 Corinthians 12. Let's take verse 14 together. Let's go. Behold, the third time, I'm ready to come to you. And I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Acts 20. Acts 20. So younger preacher who have accused me, the way you are going, you have money, oh. You can't be preaching the word like this. I've seen many of them are bound in ministry today. Too bad. So when we see their bad behavior, it didn't start today, it started then. That being like that. When I was a younger preacher, a friend, he came for a program, brought dollars, said, man, we're good. He poured it on the floor, said, march on it, march on it. I was marching, I was looking stupid. March on it, we're getting this from the gospel. I said, no. This is mammon.
Brother Higgin taught us, live or die, swim or swim, go up or go under, we stay with the message. Acts 20, very critical in the Pauline revelation. Let us take it verse 33 to verse 35 together. Let's go. I have converted no man's silver or gold or apparel. That's very, you know, Pastor Lan will say that many guys will skip this part. They will skip 34. They will skip 35A and they will take 35B. Pastor Lan supports things like that. He has an eye for it. Acts 20:33. I have converted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know. Can you imagine? Say, you know. If something you are sure of it, you hit on your head like this. Say, you know. That these hands, I can see Paul stretch it out. These hands, this laptop, amen. This Okada, this Marua, this boss, this degree, this cutlass, this hole. These hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. Let's take 35 together. And I have shown you all things. The word showed is the Greek word hypo, the economy. It means I actually explained it to you. The same word in Matthew 3:7, Luke 3:7, Luke 6:47, Acts 9:16. To be shown things clearly, I have showed you, let's take 35 together, I have showed you all things. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he said, it is more pastor. Who is he talking to? He's talking to pastors. The leaders at Ephesus. Pastor is more blessed to give than to receive. The number one giver in the church should be the pastor. I'm not saying that should be a competition. Let me rephrase what I'm saying. Don't let me say number one giver. That's a wrong way of saying it. An example of a giver should be the pastor. And he will walk with, the pastor should be an example of industry. An example of industry. An example of industry. He walks with his hands. And an example of a giver. What are we talking about? As your conduct does not hinder the gospel. It doesn't stop people from giving to you. People give to Paul. We read it in 2 Corinthians 11. Is it verse 19 now? We read it now. Philippians 4, verse 11 to 19. They supplied his needs. When he was in lack, was in jail, they supplied his needs. They met his needs. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For it is written, thou shalt not muzzle the ox and thresh the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. He's worthy of it. Honor. Honor. Support a man. Help him out. Honor. Showing honor. Showing appreciation for his work. But he must not make a charge. Are you following what I'm saying? The gospel is in your hands. Don't allow your needs to get in the way. Reverend George Adego, he told us this in 1995. I was in YMTS, Young Ministers Training School. In Ilori, he said this. I was with Pastor Stokes last night. I said, that thing is bull's eye. I've seen it all over. He said, anytime you see a preacher start a strange doctrine, anytime you see it, and they begin to call the Holy Spirit handkerchief, and begin to call those kind of things, they start to talk about something mysterious, or somebody begins to raise money, says, well, there's an anointing upon my life, if you do this, he said, write it down. They are embarking on a project in their ministry, and they need money. 95, he said it. Maybe September or so. I can never forget that statement. It was a Tuesday evening. I have proven it in every instance. You remember Pastor Lan and Pastor White, I said, when they were there. When we saw someone on television, suddenly start talking about seed faith. I said, write it down. They're about to have a church building. Ah, Pastor, I said, ah, I get done. Reverend George, you saw. It has always come to pass. Reverend George said it 22 years ago. It has always been the same. And they want to start a university. They want to buy a plane. There's something. A strength doesn't come from nowhere. They just bring it up here. Ah, from where? And thou shalt connect. You know why? Your ambition has gotten in the way. You should preach the gospel when you are hungry, the same way when you have constipation. Allow me. It is not for belly. 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 Pastor, you are not a CEO. A servant. Some young boys behave like CEOs. So I have to warn folks. I'm going to warn the ushers too. I've said it to them. Stop treating me like a CEO. If I come late to a service, or by the reason of, you know, staying in the lobby and coming to service, and people are worshiping God, don't push their hand away. That's psychopathy. I'm the one that should push my head away. Take away any service before me. That's human worship. If you want to pass by pastor, and they say, hey, don't go past. Stop doing that. You didn't learn that from me. Yes, there's a place of, please, pastor said, who are you? Angel of his presence? Stop that. I'm not a CEO. I'm a pastor. But I am. People are worshiping God. They are praying. Some of you can, you are praying. Good day, sir. Ah. Emoji. You have lost it. Close your eyes and pray. And with our heads lifted high, we will walk. What's that? I didn't teach you that. I didn't teach you that. That is psychophancy. 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 Psycho. So you kicked me 4 times in 2 minutes. Yes, sir. I'll come back again. Good, sir. I'll come back. Yes, sir. Kedisa, come back here. The spirit of Judas is upon your soul. Greet me once. Paul didn't say, greet the brethren, then greet them again. Greet me once. Did you come to church to greet? I am not a CEO. I am not the president of a country. I'm a pastor of a church, born again people that were saved by the same blood. Hallelujah. I'm just first among equals. Are you following what I'm saying? My work is to serve. Not a CEO. When I want to do CEO, I know what to do CEO. But not in the house of God. Be servant. You do hear me? How can I talk to my pastor like that? He was like, whoa! Ah. And then you say, Peter, if you don't have a sword, you cut Marcus' head. That would be difficult. You know, AI is good. But then Marcus' head is dangling on the floor. He just says, ah! Kephas! Simoni! Badona! Don't become a CEO. Lest that conduct now corrupts a message. You are preaching a Christ who is humility personified with pride. How can you preach a Christ who is humble with an attitude of pride? It's not. They are not the same. They are not the same. You preach a Christ who is humble with a humble attitude. Are you following what I'm saying? You preach Christ, humility, that
the ministry be not blamed. Lewis, that the ministry be not blamed. Believe ourselves. We are word men. I have to say this in many fora. Because men are coming into the message and they are understanding the gospel of Christ. But they have not dropped all those bad habits. Ah! The man of God. The voice for this generation. The threshold of revelation. The foothold of Christology. The eyesight of Apocalypse. Here he stands, the rock upon the rock. Here he stands, that generational apostolic. You are mad. Stop that nonsense. Stop that rubbish attitude of giving people cheaters titles and nicknames. He's my pastor. The man of God over my life. The one tutoring me, teaching me. That's all. Don't say, is that transgenerational bridge, the Todd Milam bridge of the Spirit, the man who stands in the threshold of time, who holds the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Newest Testament, the man who stands in the threshold of the Christ. He's the one that will take the light of Jesus and take it to the end. He's the one that took the baton from Paul and ran the race to the very end. You are mad. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for. If your pastor is not apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, then he is four. I thought you lost that. Take what he gave. Are you there? I'm used to stupid names. Hallelujah. People come and say, the prelate. I've been called prelate. I've been called, before some of you were born, I was called all the ministry gifts. I told the guy, I said, I was ordained 23 years ago. How old are you? 23 years ago. I mean ordained, reverend. How would I be in the university and be being reverend? But some will not mind. I mean, I rejected being called a pastor for years. He said, sir, he told me, we can't call you brother again. You are a pastor. I said, no. There are people who joined, who were in this church before, they started calling me brother. Brother. It was this time, pastor. So they don't call you pastor like this, your face will just change. Honor. honor. Even God talking to you, that say, check, oh, sorry, pastor. Before you get angry. The ministry be not blamed. I've been called apostle, I've been called prophet. In fact, there was a meeting. Every preacher, what that program again? 1996, 1995, said, Apostle. There was some boys, I got them born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. I was wearing bra. You know, I was in deeper life. And our pastor then was called bra. So he took his talk. Bra. Then I now went to Brother Higgy, you know. Brother Higgy. When you see a man in 70 something calling Brother Higgy, then you, short, taller than Pastor Ibukun, a little bit on the height of Sister Titi, and in the realm of Sister Tonya. And then you say, Brother Higgy, Reverend, give yourself some brain. And the young boys, some of them, I now traveled. I left them in charge of the fellowship 95. I came back. You say, the second is Prophet J, Evan B, Apostle. I say, so who am I? I say, you, when did we collect the demon in your body? When did you? Interestingly, sad to say, none of them is in the ministry today. Okay, except one.
You don't need all that. Don't need all that.
And when John told us years ago, he said the ministry gift is not a noun, it's a verb.
What you do? Do something.
It's not a noun. Unless you write apostle, prophet, evangelist, you become a hip, an hip. Let your conduct be that which you become. That's why he says community. A man can be a brother. For many of them are brothers. I still call them brother. And the person who is accountable to him is called pastor. Don't be confused. Our beloved brother Paul. Amen. Don't be confused. Praise God. Some are so scared to call me pastor. Other churches, they put Reverend Shego. I understand their fears. So, look at your conduct. Your behavior. Your behavior about money. Your behavior about reward. Your behavior with others. Your speech. Your conduct. It must not corrupt a message that is pure. First instruction. Let your conversation be that which becometh of the gospel. Secondly, let your relationships honor the gospel. Let your relationships honor the gospel. What kind of people? Did you notice that the early church, Acts 1:14 and 15, they stayed together. They were around each other for the gospel. Acts 1:14-15. Relationships for the gospel. It doesn't mean that people are going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that people are going to not do anything wrong. But we have a purpose we pursue. I believe strongly that after the new birth, one very important thing that happens to believers is that we are all placed in supernatural relationships. You know, you got into this place, this church, because of somebody. Somebody you knew. I don't think you had a dream. And then an angel said to you, go to this community church. Somebody must have attended, who told you about it, who preached to you. Relationships. I cannot claim I knew the gospel by myself. No. Preaching. Grew gradually. Men taught me. Friends put me through. No. Shego, that's not it all. Eh? And he showed me. Line upon line. The guy told me. He said, everything you just said now, there was no gospel in it. I felt like dying. He said, everything you said, there was no gospel in it. I felt like just saying, Lord, and I quoted scriptures like a machine gun. And he gave me E.W. Kenyon. He said, this will change your life. I said, I know this man. He talks in vague terms. He said, his words are true. He said, go and read this. You need it now. Before you destroy people's lives. And I was healing the sick. I had more gifts of the spirit than my friend. In fact, he will finish preaching. You say, Emoji, come and do your thing. And I'll be handing out word of knowledge. Like it was going out of fashion. He said, come. He said, read this book. He said, read it. Before then, I'll preach righteousness on Monday by faith. On Tuesday, I'll preach 78 keys to retain power. The same preacher. Don't be deceived. He said, no. And he gave me the book. And it changed me forever. So, there are relationships that you treasure. That was why when someone spoke ill of him, the man is late today, I went after the guy. Totally. It's personal to me. Because there are relationships that you must, for the sake of the gospel, protect. Relationships. Jesus protected his relationship with the disciples for the gospel. Judas was only a son of perdition. He was not going to believe. He didn't see Christ as Christ. And more so, he died wallowing condemnation and unbelief. He will not believe. John 6:67. So, we have relationships. Romans 16. See this? We'll close here. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 4. Romans 16:4. We close here. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. This was a very unique relationship to Paul. He recognized them again in 1 Corinthians 16. That should be verse 19. They were men he spoke of a lot. You know what they were to themselves? They were business partners. Business partners. So they were running business against, I cannot do business with Christians. Are you not one? They were business partners. I don't think that relationships are going to always be smooth. But they protected it for the sake of the gospel. Romans 16. Verse 5. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus. Greet Mary. Salute Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen, fellow prisoners, who are apostles of Christ before me. Amplias, my beloved in the Lord. Hoban, our helper. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute Herodion. So many people were in his life for the sake of the gospel. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Salute Asinocritus. He remembered everyone. Elmon, Petrobas, Amis, the brethren. Philogos, Neros, Julia, his sister, Olympus, all the saints. One with a holy kiss. Then he says in 21, Timotheus, my workfellow, Lucius and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. So many people. Relationships. They took his letters to him, for him. They helped him write relationships. Don't toy with relationships. Toy with them. Guard them for the gospel. Relationships are never going to be perfect all the time. We will step on one another's toes. Sometimes our toes are too big. That's why they step on it. We'll offend each other. But we have a message to protect with our relationships. Church, give yourself to it. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sacrifice your ambitions. Relationships. Give for the gospel. Lay your heart for the gospel. It's worth it. It's worth it that we don't allow us to get in the way of Him. Like I said, like this, stand to your feet. If it's all about Him, it can never be about us. If it's all about us, it can never be about Him. Let us pray. This moment, look at your conduct. Your manner of behavior, your manner of life before others, is it tantamount to a stumbling block? Is it tantamount to an offense towards the message of the gospel? Let's pray. Let's pray. Pray for yourself. Pray.